Thank you, thank you. Hey, don't you appreciate Gary and Dean and Amy and our staff? Yeah. If we've not had a chance to meet before, my name is David and I'm the pastor here at Monterey. We're so glad that you're here and honored that you've come to be with us on this Sunday. In fact, you're here to Grain Sunday because we're in the middle of a series that we've been calling Summer Playlist, Summer Playlist. And what we've been doing is we put together a list of some of our favorite hymns, the ones that we grew up with and many of us know and really love. And so we've been talking about those hymns and singing those hymns and then looking at sort of the biblical message behind all of those. And today, for just a few moments, because time is getting away for us, for just a few moments, I'd like to talk about something that we all think we understand, but we really don't. We're going to talk about something that I think we all understand, especially if you're a church person and you sort of grew up in church. This is something that I think we all understand, but I'm afraid that many of us really don't understand, and that is worship. And the reason I say that we don't really understand worship is because you and I and many of us have bought into a very narrow and misdefined concept of worship. In fact, when I even mentioned the word worship, what did you think of? You thought of something like this, didn't you? You thought of coming to a place called the church. You thought of getting inside the worship center. You showed up at 10:45 for the worship service. We've come together as God's people to worship God. And so this is what we think of most of the time when we think about worship. We think about going to a building, sitting in pews, or attending some event at 10:45 on Sundays or whenever our worship is. And that's fine. That's great. In fact, that's perfect that we think that way because it is important for us to come and gather together and worship God. But for many of us, I'm afraid that when it comes to worship, this is what we think. And this is pretty much all we think that worship is, and we've been doing it for so long, and we've used the word worship for so long in our churches that many of us think and we miss what the true nature of worship really is. Now, in case you don't know or you can't remember, the word worship actually comes from an English word that means worthship. Worthship. It's actually when you ascribe value or you ascribe importance. It's giving value or importance to someone or something. And that's what it means to worship. And we're all worshipers. I don't know if you knew that. All of us worship something or someone, but that's what it means to worship someone. It means to give worth to them, ascribe value or worth or value to that person. Now, here's what's interesting. When you read the Old Testament, and in parts of the New Testament, worship was almost always confined and tied to a place. In other words, when it came to worship, you attended somewhere. And usually, generally, it was, you know, a place that God had done something very significant, or maybe it was a place where God had said, "You are going to worship me here." And so in that place, they would build sort of an altar or maybe some sort of a temple, and this would be a holy place that would set aside, and that is where you went to worship. And when you went to worship, you always brought a gift because you never attended worship empty-handed, and a part of that worship experience was bowing down or kneeling down to show honor and reverence, but there was a place of worship. So you could ask someone, "Hey, did you worship?" And here's what they would say. "Yes, I went to that temple. Last Sunday, I went to that place. Last Saturday, I went to that place, and I went to that place of worship, and I worshiped. Or next Sunday, I'm going over there to worship." That idea of worship made perfect sense in that culture. Unfortunately, it makes perfect sense in our culture. And the reason I say unfortunately is because when you read the rest of the New Testament, something happened. In fact, this may surprise you, there are very few references to worship in the New Testament. We know that the wise men came and they bowed down and they worshiped Jesus after he was born. There's a verse in Matthew chapter 4 that talks about Satan and Jesus having this conversation, and Satan says, "Jesus, if you will bow down and worship me, I'll give you everything." Very fascinating story. Acts chapter 21, we read about Paul going with the Ephesian elders to the temple in order to worship. There's some references in the book of Revelation about angels worshiping Jesus. But outside of that, there are very few references to worship. There are not many verses about it. Here's the question. Why? Well, why is that? And here's the answer. Because Jesus changed it all. Jesus said, whatever you think of when you think of worship, that's no longer about worship. He completely put it on its head. If you have a Bible and you want to follow along real quickly, we're going to be in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, you can use your phone. You can use your neighbor's phone. If you give it back, you can do whatever you need to. John chapter 4, New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Here's the setup real quickly. Jesus, this Jew, is having a conversation with a woman who is a Samaritan. And it's interesting, you read the story of John, we won't read it for the sake of time, but they get on the subject of worship, and here's what she asks Jesus. John chapter 4, beginning in verse 19. They've had this conversation, and she says, sir, she said, you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist on worshiping in Jerusalem while we as Samaritans... While we as Samaritans claim it is here on Mount Gerizim where our ancestors worship. So she looks at Jesus. They're having this conversation. She's pretty perceptive and she notices you must be a prophet based on some of the things you've said. So can I ask you a theological question? Why is it that you Jews worship in the temple and we Samaritans, we worship on Mount Gerizim, which was an important historical mountain for the Samaritans? Do you know why she asked that question? Because she thought what many of us think when it comes to worship. That worship is about something that you attend. It is about a building that you go to. It is about a place that you are involved in with other people focusing in on thinking about God. And so she asked the question, she's thinking, worship is about a place. So which place has it right? And she thought worship was something that you could go to and say, I went to that place and I worshiped on Saturday. I went over there and I worshiped on Sunday. For us, you know what we would ask? Which denomination has it right? Is it the Baptist or the Church of Christ? Is it the non-denoms or is it the Presbyterian? That's what we would ask. And so she asked this question that many of us in church are asking, who is doing it right? We Samaritans or you Jews? Is it the temple or is it the mountain? Is it, you know, the praise songs or is it hymns? Is it grape juice or is it wine? Is it heads bowed, eyes closed, sitting down, or is it eyes open, standing up, hands raised? Which one does God look at and say, they are doing it right? They know how to do it. And if I ever go to church, God says, I'm going over there to that place because they are doing it right. Which one's right? You know, that question has split churches. It not only has it split churches, some of you have may even come from churches who have split over the issue of worship. Why? In my world, and I've told you this before, in my world it's referred to as worship wars. And really what it boils down to is the style of music and the nature of what the worship looks like. So if we sing a bunch of hymns, that's called a traditional church. If we sing a bunch of choruses or contemporary songs, that's called a contemporary church. If you do a mix, we call it a blended. I mean, we have tapped down around this issue for so long. And here's what we think. We think that worship is about something you attend. It is about a building you go to. It is about something you do. And Jesus says, no. That doesn't have anything to do with worship. That's not what worship is about. Worship isn't about, now listen, worship isn't about a style. Worship isn't even about a place. You know what worship is about? It is about the worshiper. It is not about the style of worship. It is about the person worshiping. How do we know that? Well, keep reading what Jesus says. Verse 21, notice what he says. He says, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem." In other words, Jesus says, it makes no difference about the place. Verse 23, "But the time is coming, indeed it is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Jesus says, starting right now, worship isn't about a place. Right now, he says, worship isn't even about a style. It is about a person. It is about the worshiper. And Jesus says the true worshiper worships the Father in spirit and in truth. And do you notice what he says right after that? He says, the Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. Isn't that unbelievable? Jesus is saying, okay, God the Father, listen, God the Father is looking for a certain type of worshiper, not a certain type of worship. But we get so caught up in hymns and choruses and contemporary and traditional and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And God looks at that and goes, you're missing the whole point. It is not about style. It is not about a place. It is not about any of that. It is about the worshiper. It is about you, and it is about me. Jesus says, I'm not going to Jerusalem and the temple because they've got it right, and I'm not going over to Mount Gerizim because the Samaritans have it right. It's not about a place. It's not. He's not looking for a style, him, chorus, to sit down, stand up. He's looking for a person. He's looking for a type of worshiper. He goes on and he says, here's who the Father is looking at. He's looking at the one who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Do you know what it means to worship God in spirit? It means that when you come into a place like this on Sunday mornings, there is something going on inside of you. That when you walk in, there's a sense of excitement and a sense of anticipation and enthusiasm. I get a chance to meet with God. It's the person who comes in and they want to experience the God. They come in and they want to connect with Him. A person who comes in and believes that in this place I have a chance to meet with holy God. See, a true worshiper isn't one who says, well, yeah, I got to get there. I got to get there to church on time. I showed up at 2:40, made it to the U. I'll sing the songs. I'll endure the sermon. And there's a lot going on this week. I've got a lot on my mind. But I'm here. And if anyone asks, did you go to church? Oh, yeah, I went to church. I showed up when I was supposed to. That's not the kind of worshiper God is looking for. God is looking for the person who comes in and is excited and enthused and eager about meeting Him. I have to ask you, what kind of worshiper are you? Are you the kind He's looking for? And I know that you can attend an event, and I know that you can come here and make it to the pew, but is there a sense of expectancy? Is there a sense of excitement? Is there a sense of, hey, guess what I get to do today with God's people? Or is it about, oh, I made it. Oh, but it didn't go too long. That's okay. And see, I struggle with this almost every Sunday, and I'll tell you why. A lot of it has to do in light of just what I do, the nature of what I do as a pastor. So I come in on Sundays, and I say hello to people, and I sit, and I begin thinking about the message and what to say and how to say it. Is it going to gel right? Do I need to switch something? And I'm constantly thinking about this. And if I'm being honest, I'm so focused on what I have to do in the next few moments that oftentimes, either through a prayer, through a song, maybe through a scripture, God will say, hey, remember, you're meeting with me. Jesus says, the Father is looking
for a type of worshiper, one who worships him in spirit, and he says, in truth. In other words, a person who worships God for who he truly is. Not someone we've made him out to be or made a God that we want to be so that we want him to be so that we can be comfortable with. He says, true worshipers have discovered who God is and they worship him for who he truly is. Jesus tells this Samaritan woman, God the Father is looking for a kind of worshiper, not a style of worship. It's really not about the place you attend. It's not about the type of worship. It's about the type of worshiper. It's about who you and I are in our worship and what we do in our worship. Isn't it interesting? Can I ask you again? What kind of worshiper are you? And see, again, for me, it's difficult because the problem is that myself and Gary included, we are so guilty accidentally of actually leading you to the place of thinking that this is really what worship is. That you come when we tell you to come, and you sit in these rows, and hear the songs we're going to sing, and then we're going to listen to somebody speak, and then we'll have church service. And what we've done, accidentally, is we've just sort of taken this beautiful thing called worship, and we have shrunk it down to 10:45 to 11:45 on Sunday mornings. And many of you, I understand this, you feel like God gives you credit for showing up. Like, you come and for some of you, it's like, well, I came three Sundays in a row, and it's like God's up in heaven going, man, did you see that? They came three Sundays in a row, put a star by their name. As if that does something in the heart of God. But just so I'm clear, I'm not against any of this. You know that. I mean, I think it's so important for us to meet together. I love meeting together. I love what we do on Sunday mornings. It's very important. It is very significant. That's part of what it's like to be a part of the local church. I'm not knocking any of this. But I think sometimes because of what I do, what we do on Sunday morning lends itself to giving the message, hey, this is what worship is about. Just show up at 10:45, watch me perform, watch Gary entertain, and we'll put on a show for you. And some Sundays, there are shows better than other shows. I get that. But that's what we tend to think. And it makes sense because you're sitting in rows and we're sitting in pews and you're all faced listening to me and most of you are awake and you're paying attention and there's a platform here and we've had some music and we've had some video and there's a guy standing up here talking and it really lends itself to this idea of entertaining you and you are there to watch me worship, you're there to watch us worship. There's only an audience of one. That is God Himself. And my part in this, and Gary's part in this, and their part in this, is to lead us to the throne of God, to worship Him. But honestly, we think, most of us, and again, I get it, part of it's my fault, we have been grooming you of thinking that worship is about an event that you show up for. And listen to me carefully. If you think that this is all there is to worship, there is so much more to it. There is so much more to it. Do you know how we know that? Because the Apostle Paul said it this way. We'll throw this up on the screen. He's been talking about all the amazing things that God has done. He's talked about the incredibleness of God and who He is and all of the things that God has done for us. And here's what he says. We'll put this up on the screen. He says, oh, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. And watch this. This is truly the way to worship Him. Do you know what Paul says? Paul says, look, if you really want to worship, and I know you do, he says, I want you to think as if you are giving yourself, your life, your body, everything that you are to the Lord as a living and holy sacrifice. In light of all that God has done for us, and He has done a lot for us, has He not? In light of all that He has done for us, give yourself, He says, as you would give a sacrifice to the Lord. For us, sacrifice doesn't mean anything because we're not involved in that. But in those days, it meant that you would bring an animal and you would sacrifice it to the Lord and you would leave it there so that whatever it is you sacrificed now belonged to the Lord. And Paul says, I want you to be like that lamb. I want you to be like that goat, and I want you to be that animal that is left on the altar once and for all to God. And God said, and Paul says, when you do that, you are truly worshiping Him. He says, worship is not about an event. It's not about Sunday morning for an hour or so, and man, I made it. It's not about something that you can draw a circle around and say, I attended, I went, I showed up, I was there. He says, it is a daily lifestyle of sacrifice and surrender to your Father in heaven in light of everything He has done for you. That's what it means to worship. In the Old Testament, it was about putting something on the altar and leaving it there. In the New Testament, it is about getting up on the altar and staying there. In the Old Testament, it was about a time and a place. In the New Testament, it is at all times. It is every place. You know what it means to worship? Just a quick little definition. It is a moment by moment recognition and response to the greatness and the grace of God. That's what it means to worship. Hey, I'm glad you're here. But if you want to be a true worshiper, it is that moment by moment, day by day, moment by moment, where you recognize and you respond to God's greatness and His grace. In light of all that He has done for you and me, He's given us life. He has sent His Son Jesus to die for us. He's given us forgiveness. We now can have a right relationship with God. He has given us not what we deserve, but what we don't deserve. What is the right response to a God who's done that for you and for me? It's very simple. It's surrender. And it's saying, God, all that I am, all that I have, it's yours. I remember the very first time I ever really surrendered something to God. I was in college. You know, college students, they don't have much. So I said, God, I surrender everything to you. He says, you got a couch and a couple of CDs. What am I going to do with that? The right response to the God, to the greatness and the goodness of God, the grace of God, is surrendered. You know what it means on a very practical level? It means that not only do we come together as a congregation and corporately recognize His greatness and His grace, but we can continue to do that after we leave. Do you know what that means? That worship doesn't end at 11:45 or 11:50 or 11:55, however long the dude goes. Worship doesn't end then. You and I can continue to worship. You know what else it means? It means that you shouldn't come here to worship. You should come here on Sundays worshiping. And we shouldn't leave saying, hey, I worshiped. We shouldn't leave saying, hey, in our vernacular, I went to church. We should leave here worshiping every moment of every day so that we can say, God, this week I am surrendering myself to you in light of your greatness and in light of your grace. Because of who you are and what you've done for me, I'm surrendering to you. And I am following you, whether I get anything out of it or not. Makes no difference. I am willing to say yes because you are worth me saying yes to. Because of everything that you've done for me. School, work, playtime. If you ask me to do it, it's that moment-by-moment recognition and response to His greatness and grace in our life. Jesus said, That's the kind of worshipers that God is looking for. I don't know about you. I want to be that kind of worshiper. I want to be that person that when God looks at my life, He finds a worshiper, the one that He's looking for. So that whatever I'm doing in my life, it's about Him. It's not just about a place to attend, although this is place. This is the place. It's not about the time. Show up at 10:45. It's not about just sitting in rows and listening. It is about us coming together corporately on a weekly basis to honor and recognize and respond to the greatness and grace of God. But it doesn't end when we say the final amen. It is you and I walking out of this place, worshiping all week long, and coming in here worshiping God in spirit and truth and saying, God, every moment of every day, I'm responding to Your greatness and to Your grace. What else can I do, God, in light of what You've done for me? Jesus said, that's what He's looking for. I'd like to kickstart this for you. If you would you just bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? I'm going to read you the lyrics of a song that I think captures the heart of worship. It's a song that most of us know. And as I read it, would you just in these moments ask God to help you with this? And then as we leave and you head into your week and you know you start school tomorrow or you start working tomorrow or you do what you have to do this week, would you just ask the Lord, Lord, would You remind me of this truth? So with your eyes closed and your head bowed, I just want to read you the lyrics of this song. I'm going to add a few words just to kind of make sure we don't miss it. And then we're going to stand and we're going to sing it and be dismissed, continuing to worship. And then I hope we can worship right out these doors and right through our homes and our schools and our offices and right back here next week as worshipers, the kind that God is looking for. So just listen to these words with your eyes closed for just a moment. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will forever love and trust Him. In His presence, I will daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. What else can I do? All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus, I humbly bow at His feet. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, now a living sacrifice. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Heavenly Father, that is a tremendous challenge for a lot of us. Father, I pray in this moment that You would just open our eyes to help us in a greater way understand Your mercy and Your grace toward us. That it may fill our hearts so much that the logical and the reasonable response to Your mercy and grace is to just throw up our hands and surrender, not in part, but in all. All to Thee, our blessed Savior, to surrender all. And Father, continue to do in my heart and in our hearts what needs to be done and what needs to happen so that we would be the worshipers that You're looking for and that we would worship You wherever we go. That we would come worshiping, that we would leave worshiping because You are worthy of it.
You are worthy of us saying yes to you. Father, I pray that here at our church, you will always find the kind of worshipers that you are looking for. And that's what we pray in the amazing name of Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.